All right, so let's open back to Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 29. And we're learning about the way the kingdom of God operates here on the earth. And specifically, we're talking about finances, but we saw this morning that every aspect of our lives operates by seed time and harvest. Let's read this passage again, verse 26 through 29. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He does not know how, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So we talked about God's system of financial system, freedom this morning. Remember, the kingdom of God in the Greek means the entire sphere of God's rule and action in relation to the world. So it's the way God's set up his system to operate here. I don't know if you've ever studied the 73rd Psalm, but it actually talks about the world system of finance, how you can get rich the world's way. A lot of times Christians, you know, look at ungodly sinners that get rich, and they wonder why God blessed them so much, and here they are sinners. Well, God didn't. God had nothing to do with it. There is an ungodly world system that you can operate by, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. Step on everybody, don't care who you step on, and then the riches are going to end up hurting you. But the Bible said God's system, God will make you rich, and he won't add any sorrow with it. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? So we're talking about God's system here. God says his system operates on seed time and harvest. What I like about seed time and harvest is it's a no respecter of person system. Anybody, no matter what the background, doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, educated, uneducated, old or young, working or retired, what your nationality is, married or not married, from a poor county or a rich county, none of that matters. What matters is, do you know how to plant the seed? And so it's a no respecter of person system. I could go on any of the cities in the United States, go to Atlanta, go to Miami, New York, L.A., Dallas, go somewhere, and I could find a poor person on the street, and if they would let me teach God's system to them, they could learn to give their way out of poverty. Because it's a no respecter person system. I found out the only one that stops me from gaining financially every year is me, my giving. So if his system is seed time and harvest, then I'm going to be as smart as a farmer. A farmer knows that when he gets harvest, if he saves some and plants more the next year, then he's going to get a bigger harvest. And God, notice, God likens his whole kingdom to seed time and harvest. Now, the question comes up, we were talking about this at lunch, the question comes up sometimes, well, if, like we found out this morning, money in and of itself is not seed, money is an inanimate object, it has no DNA, no seed value at all, so you can drop money and it won't do anything. But we found out in verse 14 here this morning, the sower sows what? The word. So we have to sow the word in order for God's DNA to be injected into money. So if all you do is let go of money, tithes or offerings, all you're doing is being a dropper. God doesn't want droppers, he wants sowers. And this explains why a lot of people have given and given and given and given and given for many years and never reaped much harvest financially, is because they never sowed. All they did was let money go. But when we sow with our mouth, then God's DNA is injected into the money, and then the money becomes kingdom seed. But the question becomes this, well, if the word is the seed, then I don't need to do anything with money. If the seed is God's word, then I can just sow the word and get rich financially. Well, what they're trying to do is just operate the spiritual part with and forget everything that God created in the natural realm. If you had that line of thinking, then you would think the same way with your health. And well, you know what? I don't need to sleep, and I don't need to eat good food, and you know, it doesn't matter what I do to my body. I mean, you know, if it's just the word that I gotta speak to get health, then yeah, throw caution to the wind, man. I can do anything to my body. Which you know is not true. You know you have to do things. The Bible says you have to sleep. Bible says you have to exercise. Most people don't even know that's in the Bible. But the Bible says you have to take care of your body, present your body. So there's things in the natural you have to do in order for God's word to work in your life. And what about a marriage? What if somebody says, well, all I have to do to have a heavenly marriage is just sow God's word, sow seed. So, you know, that's all I've got to do. Well, no, if that's all you do and you never treat your wife nice and you never give her anything and you never love on her and you never tell her how beautiful she is, you never do anything in the natural, honey, you're not going to have a good marriage. Amen. So, no, that's just ignorance gone to seed when people are saying, you know, well, by grace, you know, everything is done. And so all I have to do is just believe the word and grace will take care of the rest. Well, the Bible says you can frustrate the grace of God. Amen. The Bible says you can fall from grace. And the way you do that is by not exercising faith and by not being a doer of the word. So, I mean, there's a lot there. That's a whole nother subject. But the point was here, we have to do something with our money. It's just money in and of itself is not seed. So you have to attach God's word to it, just like you have to attach God's word to your marriage, just like you have to attach God's word to your body. I mean, I eat healthy most of the time. And yet I get attacked in my body with different things, different pains and things. But when it comes, I don't just rely on the natural. I take the supernatural, the word of God that I've been sowing all these years, and I release that. You have to do both, but then I can't just speak the word of God and then not treat my body right. You know, I think I'll just sleep 3 hours a night and won't exercise and, you know, won't eat right. No, that's not going to cause the word to work in your life. So it's the same way with finances. We've got to put God first. And again, if we had time, we'd go to so many different scriptures that show that we do have to give money into the kingdom of God. Listen, the gospel is free, but it takes money to get it out. And Paul instructed the church at Corinth to lay up in order to be able to give to the church and give to the people that were in need. So there's so many different scriptures that you have to let scripture interpret scripture. And so if you do that, then you'll always stay balanced and you won't get off on tangents and stuff like some people do when they hear different messages. So we've got to make sure we stick with truth. Truth is what makes people free. So again, we do have to sow money, but to sow money, you have to sow the word out of your mouth. And that's the way you sow. So God says here, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So notice seed does have to get into ground in order to produce harvest. That's a big revelation, isn't it? But a lot of people think, well, I'll just save up to give this or that or the other. But God says, no, seed is going to multiply once it gets in the ground. Then, since he uses this natural illustration of seed time and harvest and like a farmer planting, then we know then what kind of ground we sow into is important, right? A farmer doesn't just go sow on bad ground because he knows he's not going to get a good harvest on bad ground. So likewise, we can't just go sowing anywhere. And let me challenge you and exhort you and caution you in this area, because you can watch things on TV that can pull on your emotional heartstrings, and you really don't know anything about the background, where they spend the money, how they spend the money, or anything. So unless you know that you know that you know that God spoke to you and it's not just an emotional pull, I would not encourage you to be sowing there, because a lot of people get messed up in that, and they wonder why they don't ever get harvest, because they're not being led by God. Listen, the Spirit of God is always going to agree with the Word of God. The first place we should be sowing is our local church. That's the first place, because that's the place you're going to come on a regular basis and have a pastor. God prophesied under the old covenant before pastors ever came along. He said, I'm going to give you pastors of my own heart. They're going to feed you. Feed, that sounds like good food, huh? Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? They're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. So we need to make sure we are supporting our local churches and our pastors are well taken care of financially so that we're getting spiritual food like we're supposed to. And then you find good ministries, missionaries, ministries like Larry Hutton Ministries, hallelujah. And you partner with good ministries. You find good TV preachers, or if you listen to people that are on the radio and you know about their ministry, things like that. Then partner with ministries that you know teach truth, that liberate people and set people free and cause people to mature in the things of God. That's real important. Somebody asked me one time, well, Brother Larry, how do I know a good ministry? I said, you know, I heard one of my mentors, the late Kenneth E. Hagin, he made this statement one time. He said, I would pick up a book. This is what he said. He said, I'd pick up a book and read it, and if it didn't do anything for me, I'd probably never read it again. He said, but I'd pick up another book and read it, and it really did something for me. I just kept getting more out of it. I'd pick it up and read it again, and I'd tell the Lord I'll call him back if that's him. He kept reading it, reading it, because that ministry did something for him. And so I took that in my life through the years then, and I realized, you know, when I sat under different ministries and I really got a lot out of them, I'm partnering with them. If there's other ministries that, you know, I could send, oh, they're wonderful men of God, great men of God, maybe have great TV ministries, whatever, but there's just no click there with me, then I don't partner with them. You know, I may have told you this a couple years ago when I was here. You know, my wife, she loves listening to Creflo Dollar. Creflo's a really good teacher, and she loves listening to him. And so years ago, because I saw her getting fed so much, I thought, well, bless God, we're going to partner with Creflo, because my wife is getting a lot of good food from Creflo. And here's another way. Your pastor has people in the church. Maybe, let's say, maybe Marty Blackwelder, because I know you guys have had Marty here. Let's say, you know, you maybe have said this to somebody, or you've thought this yourself. You've thought, you know what, every time Marty comes, he is my favorite preacher. I get more out of his ministry than anybody. Guess what? There's a hook up there. That's the kind of people you want to partner with, see? I mean, I've had people come up to me and said, Brother Larry, you are our favorite preacher, our favorite ministry, and they've never sent us a dime. They've never supported us financially at all. In fact, they'll tell us, man, I tell you, I got so much out of your financial teaching. It just set us free. God bless God. I mean, we had quadruple the finances come into our business this year, upped our income and everything else. And so we just decided to send $1,000 to this ministry and that ministry, and I wasn't included. So this is how Liz and I found out, okay, this is the way the Lord is going to lead us. You're going to know because they feed you. They help you. You like them. There's a camaraderie there. There's a hookup. You know what I'm saying? And so that always helps people when they understand. That's how you start with your local church and then other ministries that bless you and help you, then partner with them. And somebody asked me one time, well, Brother Larry, what should I start with if I partner with your ministry? Well, I could spell million for them real quick, you know. But I said, you know what I said to them when they asked me that? Because I wasn't even, they kind of caught me off guard. And they said, how much should I partner with when I start partnering with your ministry? And I just up out of my spirit came, what you'll be faithful to send. And I realized that I'd said it without even thinking about it. It just came up out of me. Because so many people will think, okay, I'm going to send you $100 a month. I've had people tell me that. Brother Larry, I'm going to start sending you $100 a month. And I never saw a penny. Didn't saw a penny a month, a dime a month, a dollar a month, $10 a month, never saw any. They were waiting for that bigger mother load or whatever to come in, and then they were going to start their $100 a month. Start where you can. I remember one elderly lady, she started like $1 a month, and I think it was 6 or 8 months later, all of a sudden we started getting $5 a month from her, and then a year later, $10, $28, kept going up to where she was doing over $100 a month. And here she was, a retired lady, but God kept blessing her with more finances coming in ways that she would have never thought of. So start where you're at. Be faithful where you're at. Just remember, seed time and harvest. Do you want harvest? You should. Somebody says, well, I really don't need any more. All of my needs are met. I thought about that one time, and I thought, that is one of the most selfish things you can say. If all of your needs are met and you don't want any more than that, you don't care about people. You don't love people like God loves people. God so loved the world. There are so many hurting people out there that I want all of my needs met and plenty left over so that when I see other needs that I can help meet those. So every year, my wife and I, we just decide we're going to give more into the kingdom of God this year than we've given last year, and we're just going to keep doing that year after year after year. We're going to increase. Why? My needs are met. I'm not here in Macon for the offering, because if seed time and harvest, this is what the Lord showed me one time. Maybe y'all have heard this, but when I was at a little church one time, I was a little tiny church, and when they gave me the offering, I was there for like 3 days, and they gave me the offering, and it wasn't enough to even pay for the airfare to fly preach for them. And this is what the Lord told me. This was, gosh, 25 years ago, whatever, when the Lord showed me this. He spoke to me and he said, their giving did not affect your harvest. I said, what was that, Lord? He said, what they just sowed into your ministry did not affect your harvest. The only thing that affects your harvest is what you sow. Ding! I got it. That just means no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, I determine my harvest. You don't. That's good news. That means you get to determine your harvest, not other people. You get to determine how your future is going to be. And so that just liberated Liz and I through the years, man, because we kept increasing. Yes, there would be times we'd make sacrifices, because that's one thing you learn when you read scripture is making sacrifices. There was a time the Lord, Liz and I have given away cars and bought cars for people numerous times through the years. We love doing that. And so there was one time that I had saved enough money up to buy Liz a new car. And right when I was getting ready to do it, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to take that money and I want you to buy so-and-so a new car. And I said, but Lord, I've been saving up this money so that I could buy Liz, my wife, a new car. He said, I know. He said, but I want you to take that money and go buy so-and-so a new car. I said, Lord, you didn't hear me. I said, I've saved this money to go buy Liz a new car. He said, I know. I want you to go buy so-and-so a new car. But if I go buy so-and-so a new car, then I won't have the money to go. Okay, wait a minute, Lord. You're trying to set me up for a blessing here. So I told Liz, honey, this money we were going to buy you a new car with, we're supposed to buy so-and-so. And she said, I knew that. And so she was in agreement. We went and bought this person a new car. Come to find out when we gave it to him, he was a tither, he was a giver, he was a helper in his local church, helping his pastor, serving under his pastor, but he'd gotten to the place where his car was about to go in the graveyard. I mean, literally, he told us later, he said, I was actually ashamed to give anybody a ride in my car because it was so junky. He said it was just falling apart, needed to go to a car graveyard. And so when we gave it to him, it just blessed us to find out, well, here's somebody. God told us this was one of their harvest. But guess what it was for Liz and I? Seed. Yeah. So guess who gets the greater blessing? The guy that got the new car or the ones that sowed it? The one that got the harvest that he had sowed for or the ones that planted for future harvest? See? See, if it's more blessed to give, what does that mean? Think about this. He said more blessed. He didn't say it's blessed to give and not receive. He said it's more blessed, which means it's a blessing to receive. The guy that got the new car was blessed. He received. But then that wasn't seed for him. That was harvest for him. But guess what? For Liz and I, more blessed. Why? Because when we get the harvest back from that, which, by the way, came shortly, and then I went and paid cash for Liz a new car, the harvest was a whole lot more than what we gave. So that's why we determined we're just going to keep putting the kingdom of God first, because true biblical prosperity is not about me and my needs and me being rich. True biblical prosperity is about the kingdom of God. It's about reaching people. And so if you'll just ask God to help you. Lord, give me a heart for souls. Help me think about money equating to souls. Then guess what? You'll end up having money to pay cash for your cars and cash when you buy a home. You won't have to get a mortgage and all those things. That's God's best for us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But we have to start where we have to. We have to be faithful where we're at. And then God will take you up from there. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So you want to find good ground. Everybody say good ground. Well, the Dickersons are good ground, right? Your church here is good ground. So start there and then find other ministries. And if you want to find another one, I'm a good ground. We need partners to help us as well. You know, that's one thing people don't understand about like a prophet or a teacher that doesn't pastor a church. I don't have a congregation that gives money every Sunday. If I don't go preach somewhere on a Sunday, no money's coming in as far as unless there's partners. You see what I'm saying? We have to believe for partners to support our ministry. Understand that when different ministries come in here, and if God hooks your heart up with them, like Marty or other ones, I'm not sure who all you have in here, but I do know Marty just because he was with Brother Hagin as well. But different ministries that you have, and if they do you good and help you grow, then, man, start supporting them. You'd be amazed, you know, some people said, yeah, but my little $5 a month or my little $10 a month doesn't amount to much. Well, yeah, when 100 people do that, it amounts to much. So you be faithful and God will reward you. And then when you do get rewarded, just like Liz and I remember when Liz and I started partnering, we started with our local church, tithed to our local church, and gave an offering into our church's building fund. So we were tithing and giving offerings to our local church, and then we picked one ministry out that happened to be a traveling ministry and started supporting them. And then after that, a missionary. But I remember we started at $5 a month. That's all we could afford above our tithe. But then blessings started coming in, and then we upped it to $10 a month. And then blessings coming in, and so then we got another ministry and added to that and took them both up to $20 a month. And it just kept going up from there. Now everybody that we support is minimum of $50 or $100 a month, most of them. And of course, then we send special offerings besides that as well. But start where you're at, because when you have a heart for the kingdom of God, you want to see the kingdom of God increase. Think about this. There's over 7 billion, the last statistic, there's over 7 billion people on the earth. And according to the statistics, there's only about 1.5 billion that have professed Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we're talking like over 5 billion, close to 5.5 billion people that are not saved, that don't go to our church. How are we going to reach them? Well, guess what? Our money can go places you and I can't. So when you support those missionaries and you support the TV broadcast, and I'd have to qualify that one. There's a lot of TV broadcasts that are not worth supporting. So make sure they're preaching good news, right? And news that is setting people free. So you hear good news, you support those things, and then as you get increased, then up your support to those ministries, because you're going to be upping your support to your local church as well. That's the one thing that I admire about, like, your pastor and pastors that I go preach for that don't have any problem with receiving love offerings at the end. Your pastor this morning encouraged you to give to our ministry. There have been some places we go where the pastors, they don't say anything about giving to Larry Hutton Ministries when I've gone and preached there, because they're afraid that if you give to my ministry, then the church won't get as much. But see, your pastor's mature enough to know, and a lot of other pastors that I preach for, they're mature enough to know that if you support our ministry, your income's going up. That means your tithes and offerings to your local church is going up. It's a win-win-win situation. Amen? Plus, here's the cool thing, which is why I said win-win-win. It's not just your pastor and myself that got blessed, but you're going to get the greater blessing, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. So, again, we want to make sure we sow into good ground. So let's go on in verse 27. Notice we see a couple of other things that are important here. Verse 26, the kingdom of God is like a man cast seed into good ground. And by the way, I say good ground there because if you look up the Greek word ground, it's the Greek word that means arable, which means it's ground with oxygen and nutrients, and it's good ground. So that's why I add the word good there. God said you cast seed into good ground, verse 27, and then you go to sleep and get up day and night. What does that show? It shows, first of all, a position of rest. In other words, I'm not worried and I'm not all stressed out, not able to go to sleep at night because I don't know what we're going to do financially. No, bless God, if I've sown into God's kingdom, if I'm a tither and if I'm a giver, I can rest because God is my source. That's important, because if you get out of rest, you're getting out of faith and you're frustrating grace. Amen. So God says, no, you go to bed and you get up, and you go to bed and you get up. So it shows us that. A second thing it shows us, by going to bed and getting up and going to bed and getting up, it's showing me it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. We're not talking like some people, those of us that teach on finance, and they say it, prosperity message is what they title us preachers that preach on this subject. They said, yeah, they're just preaching a get-rich-quick scheme. They're just telling us that God's like a big slot machine, or he's like your bellboy. No, actually, that's not what we teach at all. God, we're not talking about putting your money in this slot and pulling this lever, and God's going to make you rich like a slot machine, or sending God out like a bellboy to bring you anything. No, what we're talking about is living a godly life, walking with Jesus, making him Lord, not just Savior, and then resting in his works that he's done at the cross for you, so that you're resting in the finished work of Jesus. God's grace is able to flow, and you're not the one in charge. Jesus is.
Amen.
Amen. You're just letting him shine through you. In him you live, in him you move, in him you have your very being. See? So it's really all about Jesus, learning to let Jesus shine through us. That's why years ago I got a hold of him living in me and me living in him, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to always be happy from now on, because I learned this, and I'm a happy camper. And so people have actually come up to me, and in fact, somebody came up to my TV manager not too long ago, and they saw him at church. He happened to go to the same church I do in Tulsa there when I'm home. And he walked up to him. His name's David, my TV manager. They asked David, Brother David, Larry Hutton, may I ask you a question about Dr. Hutton? And he said, sure. He said, is he for real? And Brother David said, what do you mean, is he for real? And the guy said, well, you know, and every time we see him when he's home off the road and he comes into church, he's always smiling, always happy, always acting like nothing ever wrong. I mean, is he just putting on? Is he just like faking it or what? And Brother David has been around me since 1983. He started volunteering for our ministry years before we ever hired him. And David said, no, that's Brother Hutton. That's the way he lives. He lives what he preaches and preaches what he lives. It's not fake, folks. This is real. Jesus is not fake. He's real. And the more you learn to yield to him, the easier it is for you just to rest. Because he's already done it all. I mean, there is no more Adam. He's the last Adam, right? The first Adam messed it up. The Bible says he's the last Adam, not the second. He's the last. We don't need another one. He already did it all for us. Amen. There's only one enemy that's not been put underfoot, and that's physical death. And I'll tell you what, after watching my mom go to heaven, as much as I thrilled that she's with Jesus, I hate death. Anybody agree with me? Death is an enemy. It's ungodly. It's part of the kingdom of darkness. I hate death. And God hates it too. Amen. And fairly soon, Jesus is going to split the clouds. And when he does, we will see no more death. The Bible says in Revelations 21, especially when we see chapter 20 of Revelations, when the devil's cast into the bottomless pit forever. I'm hoping to be one of those that gets a part of that, the Bible says in the next chapter then, verse 4, says there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Whew! Amen! Looking forward to that time, right? But in the meantime, God says, my will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can have heaven on earth. And we do it by seed time and harvest. You do it by seed time and harvest in your marriage. Do it by seed time and harvest with your physical body. Do it seed time and harvest with your finances. So if you're lacking in an area, it's time to get more seed in the ground. In both the spiritual, the seed is the word of God, and then the natural, whatever that natural area is, whether it's your marriage or your physical health or whatever it is, seed time and harvest. And then according to this verse that we're looking at here, then resting, going to bed, getting up, resting. And resting understanding that I'm not having to strive to get rich. Mm-mm. No, you can get into the love of money and covetousness by doing that. But if you just know, okay, you know what? God made me rich. We learned this a couple years ago when I was here and did that seminar. We found out when Jesus went to the cross and bore our poverty, just like when he bore our sin, we were made righteous. Well, he bore our poverty. He made us rich. So if you accept what you already are and start operating out of that, that's when more grace flows. Because the Bible said God gives grace to the humble. The humble, those that submit to his word and accept what his word says and operates and abides by it. So again, make sure that you're resting after you sow. Don't be giving money away and then saying, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have given that much. That's not resting, and that's not believing that God's going to take care of that harvest. Amen. And so he said, you go to sleep, verse 27, the seed starts growing up and you don't have to know how. Now, that's another area that'll keep you in rest if you don't have to try and figure it out. That'll keep you from worry. It'll keep you from stress. You know what? I don't know how, and I don't care. I'm not going to carry a care, right? We taught that last year when we were here. So I can live in the way of peace. I can live in joy. I can stay happy. Even in the midst of a storm, I can be like Jesus and just lay my head down on a pillow and rest, right? Jesus was our example to follow after, so we can do that. So it goes on. He said in verse 27, you go to bed, get up day and night. The seed starts growing up, but you don't have to know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. Look at verse 28. The earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Again, showing us that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. So when little things start happening, then increase your giving. You can't increase your tithe. I've heard so many people say, well, I decided to tithe 15%. No, you can't 10%, 15%. The word tithe means tenth, okay? So you can't 15 a tenth. You can tenth, and then you can give offerings above that, so you can always increase your offerings. But tithe is always putting God first. And what the Lord showed me years ago, he said, you know what tithing is? He said, of course, it's not a law issue at all. Tithing started hundreds and hundreds of years before the Mosaic commandments were ever given. So tithing is a heart issue. It's a lordship issue. It's, God, you're in charge of my money, not me. I'm putting you first. That's what tithing is. And then giving above that is just letting God know that, man, you know what? Everything I have is God's anyway, so I'm just going to keep increasing. The more God increases me, the more I'm going to give. And the more I give, guess what's going to happen? Seed time and see? So it's like when you make the sacrifice. I had to go a few months longer before I got my wife a new car, so it was a sacrifice. But when the harvest came in and I got to buy her even a nicer car than I was planning and pay cash for it, I didn't mind the sacrifice, and she didn't either. See? So again, just understand, God's whole kingdom operates on seed time and harvest. And then verse 28, you know, first the blade, then the ear, the full corn in the ear. Then verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, he immediately puts in the sickle. So just like it took faith to sow seed, it takes faith to put in the sickle. So you can't be speaking the word when you're sowing and then expect to be reaping harvest if you're not speaking the word. It takes the same word to sow as it does to reap. Amen. And this is where a lot of people miss it. You know, they hear good messages, hear Pastor Trey, hear a good message, and then they speak the word, and then at work, or then when the unexpected bill comes in, or when the car breaks down, or whatever like that, all of a sudden it looks like they don't have the extra money, and then they say, oh no, what are we going to do? We don't have enough money. Why did you just say that? If you really believe God's your source, then you would be saying, you know, I'd like to see how God's going to do this. This is going to be pretty cool, you know? I mean, he's our source, right? We're givers. We're tithers and givers. We sow. So it may not look like we have enough money, but all things that the Father has are mine. So it's coming in, and we're going to have more than enough. Are you with me? What you say when you come into those situations, just like when pain attacks your body. Every time I have pain attack my body, I instantly speak to that pain. God doesn't say speak about the mountain. He says speak to the mountain. Have y'all read that in Mark 11:23? Whosoever shall say to the mountain. So you don't talk about the mountain. That's what most Christians do. That's why the mountain keeps getting bigger in their life. But if you'll speak to it, it'll start shrinking, or it'll just fade away, or it'll go to the sea. But that's why anytime I have pain in any joint, any bone, anywhere in my body, I instantly talk to that pain. I say, no, you're not welcome in my body. Get out. Jesus bore my pains. He bore my sickness. He bore my disease. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction, so I'm not having that. And whether it's a minute or two later or whether it's a couple of weeks later, I've had to stand for a couple of weeks against some big things before. I don't care how long I have to stand. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop speaking the word because I know it works. And I always get results. Why? Because God's word works. God said so. God's not going to lie to us. Are y'all with me? So everybody say seed time and harvest. So the whole kingdom operates on seed time and harvest. No respecter of persons. So it's up to me to let go of the money and inject God's DNA, the seed, into that money. So now God has something to work with. So then 12 months from now, I can be better off financially than I am now. No matter what the economy does. Now, you know, the economy's looking the best it has in many years, but that has nothing to do with it because God's economy is what we're operating out of. See, God's economy can take me and help me operate. Just like my wife and I, God would say, I want you to buy that house. And so we would buy a house and we'd fix it up and then we'd sell it. Because God's blessings were on it. Yes, it was in the natural economy that we were working with, but didn't matter what the natural economy was doing, we were in that natural economy buying and selling a house, but we were being led by God, and because we were sowers, now God set us up for harvest. So we made more money, bought a nicer house, fixed it up, sold it, bought a nicer house, fixed it up, sold it. That's how we helped pay for our home to get out of debt. Did the same thing with the ministry. Bought our first ministry property, an acre of property with a little three-bedroom, one-bath home on it, and we turned it into Larry Hutt Ministries offices. That's where we started with our first employee. Outgrew that, and then we bought the one that we're currently in today just because it took a miracle to do it, and God got us in this place, and we never thought we could be in the beautiful facility we're in now, but God got us in. But we could have believed him and not had to go into big debt. We got ahead of him, borrowed the money, and then we had hundreds of thousands of debt to pay off. But thank God we kept operating seed time and harvest and then got that all paid off. And again, it's, you know, a lot of times when people hear preachers talk about money, this is one thing that bothers me personally is if we preachers don't tell people in ways how we've invested, I think it does an injustice to this message. Because there are some preachers, you know, they may pastor a large church and then they go travel on their own. And when a pastor goes out, he may have a good salary from his church. So he doesn't need the money to pay bills and to, you know, pay needs and things like that. So when he goes out to his friends' churches and preaches and they give him $10,000 or whatever they give him as an offering, he doesn't have to use that to live on. It's extra money. Whereas somebody like myself, I don't have a church. When that money comes in as a 501c3 corporation, I cannot take that money and use it on myself unless if I take it and pay all the taxes, then I could, but then I wouldn't have any to run the ministry and pay employees and grow the ministry and everything else. So I have to put it in the ministry, and then my employees get paid and bills get paid and all that stuff, and if there's any left over, then I get paid. Are you with me? So when you understand how things happen, and that's why I use these natural examples, like when Liz and I in our early years, God would speak to us and tell us, buy that car, now sell it for $500 more and buy that car and make $1,000. We were following the leading of the Lord because of seed time and harvest. We were putting ourselves in a position where God could speak and say, okay, now let me help you get some harvest here. And I may have told you about this, but one time we were out in California and a businessman, God brought us across this businessman, and he happened to have a piece of art for sale. Did I tell you about this a couple years ago? I did tell you. Some of you weren't here, so let me reiterate real quick. This piece of art, I personally knew nothing about art. I had never heard of this artist. So when the man said he had a piece of art for sale and God spoke to me and God spoke to my wife, he said, go look at the art. I want you to invest in this. Well, that's what we heard from God before we ever went and looked at the art, which was probably good because when I looked at the art and I thought it was ugly, then I wouldn't have ever bought it. But the Lord spoke to us, and so we knew when we went and looked at the piece of art. I thought to myself when I saw it, I thought, I will not hang that in my garage. Why would I invest in something that's so ugly? But the Lord spoke. We knew, and Liz and I were in total agreement. And so I asked the guy, okay, how much do you want for it? And we knew it was probably going to be a couple thousand. We didn't know how much, but we knew it was probably going to be expensive. So we braced ourselves. How much? And he said, 25. I said, 25. I'm thinking $2,500. I've never spent $250 on a piece of art, so I'm thinking $2,500. That's a whole lot of money. And I said, so $2,500? He said, no, $25,000. I said, 25. What did you say? for a piece of art that's ugly? Come on now. I said, you didn't say 25. Yeah, 25,000. He said most of them right now are selling for 40,000. I'm giving you a good deal. 25,000. The only reason we bought it is because we knew the voice of God. And guess what? We also knew harvest was coming. So now God was trying to get some harvest to us. So we bought the painting. Fortunately, because of buying and selling some homes and some cars and different things, we had the cash, so I didn't have to borrow it. So I paid $25,000 cash for the art. Short time later, the Lord told us, and he said, now I want you to sell the painting. So we sold it for $175,000. Wow. Now, if you do the math, you know that's not bad profit. Put $25,000 in and got $175,000 back, and that ended up finishing paying for Larry Hutton Ministries' mortgage, and then we were able to take a little salary that we hadn't even gotten any salary for some months, and so it blessed us, it helped us, and then more harvest after that. I'm using these natural illustrations. In other words, it's not because I always go to these large churches. I go to large churches too, and when the offerings are bigger, I don't get paid more. My board sets a salary limit for me, and this is according to IRS regulations. So they set a salary, and that's if I ever reach that. I've never even reached the salary they set me. But if I ever did, I can't take more than what they set. I have a board that's liberal. I believe church boards and ministry boards ought to want their pastor, ought to want their men and women of God blessed, because we're following them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? We want our pastors blessed financially, right? Because if we're thinking we want them blessed, then God sees our pure hearts, and then he's going to make sure it comes back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, right? Now, while I'm talking, turn over to 1 Corinthians, where do I want to turn? Go over to 2 Corinthians. Let's see here. Chapter 9. Yeah, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. We're talking about this seed time and harvest. Anybody getting anything tonight? All right, so I've been going about 45 minutes here, so how many give me 10 more minutes? How many give me 10? Come on, 10 more, 10 more. Let me see your hands. Come on, let me see your... Y'all already know what I'm going to do. Come on, let me see your hands. 10, 20, 30, 40. All right, praise God. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 10. And you know, this is the chapter where he already said to purpose in your heart to be givers. Remember back in verse 7 and verse 8, then grace will flow, financial grace will flow, and so forth. Verse 10 says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and supply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice this, it says, now he that ministers, by the way, the word ministers, I've heard a lot of different people try and say what that means. If you'll just look up the word ministers here in the Greek language, it means to supply or to contribute or to furnish. So what it means is he that supplies seed to the sower, or he that contributes or furnishes seed to the sower. So it's not talking about ministering as far as like you minister under the anointing, okay? It's actually talking about God supplying seed to the sower, contributing or furnishing seed to the sower. But I want you to notice what he said next. God gives seed, ministers seed, furnishes seed, supplies seed, contributes seed. God gives seed to the who? Notice what it does not say, and this is where a lot of Christians have missed this. It does not say God gives us seed to sow. Doesn't say that. And I've been in services where even the preacher was guilty of saying something wrong. He said, you know, he was receiving an offering, and not for me, but for somebody else, he was receiving an offering. And he told the people in the congregation, he said, now, if you don't have anything to sow, that's first of all erroneous, false doctrine. Everybody has something to sow. I don't care if it's a penny. I don't care if it's a pen. I don't care if it's some little piece of jewelry. Everybody has something to sow. But he said, now, if you don't have anything to sow, hold your hand up tonight. The Bible said God will give you seed to sow, so just see your hand full by faith. No, that won't work for a farmer. You know, I don't have any seed to put in the ground, so I'm just going to just believe God to give me some seed to put in the ground. No, he said, go put some seed in the ground and you'll get a harvest. If you just have one little tiny seed, mustard seed, put it in the ground, start there. It does not say he gives you seed to sow. He says he gives seed to sowers. And if you don't believe it, read the context. Go back up to verse 7 that we were talking about. He that purposes in his heart to be a giver. Right? So this is talking about people that have purposed in their heart, I'm going to further the kingdom of God. I'm going to be, this is what I call myself. I call myself a kingdom distributor. I like that. I'm a kingdom distributor. I'm financing the kingdom, helping people. So, and by the way, the guy we bought the truck for, remember I told you, he wasn't a preacher. We bought the new vehicle, it happened to be a truck. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a minister. He's just a Christian. But he happened to be the one God spoke to us to give the new car to. And we've done that for various people. We have done it for ministers, but we've done it for more non-ministers. I was preaching one time in a service like this. I was just preaching along, and I happened to have, I think I had $600 in my pocket. I had no idea God was going to do this. I'm walking along preaching, and tonight, notice I don't have any, because he held his hand out, so I'm just letting him know. But I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, there's a guy sitting on the front row, just like he is, and I'm walking past him, and all of a sudden, God says, give him all your money that's in your pocket. I didn't even remember how much I had. I just reached in and handed him the money. The guy went away $600 richer, and he came to hear the preacher thinking the preacher was going to try and get money from him. My point in this is if you're not attached to money, money will come to you. If your heart is attached to God and his kingdom and souls, and then you're working his system, being a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, listen, it's going to start coming in. It may just be first the blade, but then the ear will come along, then the full corn in the ear, and then the next harvest will come, and then the next harvest, and the next harvest, and then you'll find yourself doing more, giving more, giving more. And somebody said, well, Brother Larry, it just sounds like you're just given to get. Well, yes and no, and no and yes. Yes, I am giving to get, but I'm wanting to get to give. Did that make sense? In other words, my purpose isn't about self. I know God's going to meet my needs. The Bible tells me, listen, if he takes care of the birds, then surely he's going to take care of you. So that's not it. I know that if I give and expect a return, then I'm going to get more. And if I get more, then I'm going to have more to give. Somebody said, but in Luke chapter 6, it says you're supposed to lend hoping nothing for return. That's not talking about giving. We may go over there in a few minutes. That's talking about giving to the poor or lending to somebody that's poor. Liz and I have done that. I've lent $22,000 to somebody before and never gotten it back. Didn't bother me at all. Why? Because God's my source. So if I'm lending, and that's what we did that one time when we lended $22,000, somebody was hurting financially. They were really hurting. And it helped them to stop hurting. It helped get them out of a really bad situation. So whether they can ever pay us back or not, I know their hearts just by, because I've talked to them not too long ago, their heart is they want to pay us back, but I don't care whether they ever pay us back. Because God's my source. So as long as you continually have a heart to help people, want to help people, then yes, you're going to be giving and you're going to be using your faith to get harvest so that you can now increase your giving. Right? It's all about the kingdom of God. So again, notice God gives seed to sowers. So everybody say, I'm a sower. Say, I'm a kingdom distributor. Well, what does God say? He does that. He said he'll minister bread for your food and, watch this, multiply your seed saved. Your seed? Your seed? Kept? Nope, your seed sown. Notice only sown seed is what produces harvest. So the more you get in the ground, the more harvest. Turn with me to John chapter 12. We're going to look at this in one more verse and then we're going to close tonight. Oh man, I can't wait for tomorrow night. We're gonna have another good one tomorrow night. I know here I am finishing tonight, and I'm already ready for tomorrow night, but I'm glad we have an extra service, aren't you? Praise God. John chapter 12, verse 24. I want you to see this because we just talked about seed. Sown is what brings harvest. Watch this, verse 24 of John 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it, the seed, brings forth much fruit. It brings forth much fruit. So in other words, I got to get it in the ground and then realize, you know what? When I go to sleep and I rest and get up and rest and I'm not worried about it, I just know God, and I'm going to keep speaking the word, keep watering that seed that's been sowed, then I just know God's going to bring that seed back to me and I don't have to know how. It brings forth fruit. It knows how to bring harvest. It what? The kingdom of God that we're looking at. It. God set it up so that it has a million and one ways that you've never dreamed or thought of. Kind of like this businessman that came to my meeting, two businessmen that came to my meeting. They happened to be doing a business together. And they were both born again, spirit-filled Christians. And God told them to go into business together and buy and sell property and different things. And so they got a hold of our teaching about seed time and harvest and just really started putting God first. God started blessing them. God told them, go buy this piece of property. And so they went and bought this piece of property for, I don't even remember what it was now, whether it was $50,000 or $70,000, but it was like 20 acres or 30 acres or something, but it was a bunch of property. It didn't seem to have any value at all, and so the old farmer that had it didn't want it anymore and just let it go, and so they paid 50 or whatever thousand for it. Well, they got that not realizing God was about to bring them harvest on seed. They'd sown to my ministry, they'd sown to their pastor, they'd sown to a couple of other ministries, and they'd made some sacrifices to do it where they, you know, gave away some pretty large offerings, and all of a sudden, a major oil corporation, this happened just a few months after they bought the property, a major oil corporation came and offered them millions, with an S, for that 50 acres or whatever the acreage was that they bought. Do you think they turned it down? Nope. Here they didn't even pay $100,000 for a piece of property, and it sold a few months later for millions. What was that? That was seed time and harvest at work in a way that they would have never thought of. But see, God has ways to bring finances to us as long as we'll obey. All right, so let's look at one more verse in chapter Luke, chapter 6, the sixth chapter of Luke, where God says, be merciful in verse 36. For your Father's merciful, he says, don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you'll be given. Verse 38, give and it'll be given to you. So I want you to see here, because I've heard preachers come up both sides of the mountain on this passage of Scripture, especially verse 38. Some preachers will just come up on, well, this is talking about giving finances. And that's all it means in verse 38. The other preachers will come up the other side of the mountain and say, well, this is talking about giving mercy and giving forgiveness and giving finances too. And somebody said, so what? Which side of the mountain's right? And a great minister one time said this, well, it depends on which side of the mountain you're coming up on. You have a different, if you're climbing a mountain, you have a different view depending on what side of the mountain you're climbing up on, right? So I like to put it this way, that, you know, I'm not going to stand up here and say, well, it's just talking about giving, but I know verse 38 includes giving because of the context. When he says, don't judge, and then condemn not, and then forgive, and then giving, he's talking about four distinct different things. So we know that he's talking about giving, plus of what I'm getting ready to show you in verse 38, we know it's talking about giving of your finances. But it doesn't mean you can't give mercy and you can't give forgiveness and you're not going to get a harvest of. Yes, that will happen, but I just want you to see in verse 38, when he says give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, the Greek words that are used are talking about finances, not talking about mercy and forgiveness and those things. Let me show you what I mean. So look at verse 38 again. Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. If you look up the word kolpos in the Greek language, this word bosom, it signifies the front of the body between the arms, a bosom of a garment, the hollow formed by the upper forepart of a loose garment bound that's used like a girdle for carrying or keeping things. So they would wear these garments and they would pick up the end of the garment, pick it up, and then hold it, and then people would dump stuff into it. And so when God used this Greek word, he's letting us know he's talking about material things and financial things that they're going to put into your garment. Because you've given, then when harvest comes back to you, it comes back in multiplied fashion. It's not just what you sowed, but they're putting good measure in it. So all of a sudden, good measure means that it sounds like they filled up your garment. But then good measure pressed down. Now, after they put the good measure, then it sounds like they came up and started working it some to make room for some more and then pour some more in. And then shaken together sounds like they helped you grab your garment and do this to get rid of all the air and open up a little bit more room for some more harvest. Come on, what's God saying? Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then that means not only is your needs abundantly supplied, but you have plenty left over to be a blessing, which would then go along with 2 Corinthians, that all grace is abounding, that you have all sufficiency in all things, and you can abound to every good work. So again, when God says, give, and it's going to come back to you in this fashion, once again, he's showing us seed time and harvest, giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. See?